Welcome to a special post-match edition of Colts Narrow Chat, the official podcast of IntoTheCalderon.com, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid. I'm Jeremy Barron, and I'm here with Rob Walker. Hello.
Hello.
Rob, usually our Monday guest on the program, but he has generously donated his time for this special 50th episode of Colts Narrow Chat today.
Well, it's appropriate. 5-0. 50th podcast.
Bingo.
It works out.
I hadn't thought of that angle before, but I'm glad you brought it up. You spoke that into existence. it only fits.
Yeah. It was, they're totally related, I'm sure.
We had been planning this, but we were not planning for Atletico to go to Gran Canaria and thrash Las Palmas to the tune of 5-0. The first manita since September, since October, when Atleti put 7 past Granada. Rob, you did the match report on this one.
Yes, I did. It was a fun one. I enjoyed this one much better than the Villarreal one.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the Villarreal game. This was completely different. Atleti responding, I would say, to that defeat in midweek, which reopened the race for third place, perhaps temporarily, but let Sevilla back in. But definitely a different performance today, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. The Villarreal performance was sort of something you could see coming, given all the fixtures Atleti have had. They didn't play poorly in that game. I think they just got a little bit unfortunate at times. But in this one, they did great with all their chances from the beginning to the very end of the match.
Yeah,
so
really,
it was really fantastic.
Bookending the game with goals in the first 2 minutes and in the last 2 minutes of stoppage
yep.
time. But no, you're right. Atletico played actually pretty well midweek. Played very well. Only just edged possession and outshot Villarreal 23-6. Today, Atleti were outshot 15-8. Possession was even, and Atleti won 5-0. So these are weird things that happen in football. And Simeone said midweek that in light of the Villarreal result, Atleti have to win that way on many occasions. So Villarreal did to Atleti what Atleti do to other teams. This time, Atleti really kept their foot on the gas throughout the game. It started very early in the second minute with Kevin Gamero, his first start since March, his first goal since March 5. Great cross from Saul Niguez, who played a brilliant game. Great low cross turned into the goal. That was Gamero's 11th goal. He would follow that up 15 minutes later with a great ball from Nico Gaitán and a wonderful sliding finish for his brace and his 12th league goal.
Yeah, they really used him in a way today that benefited him a lot. He was allowed to run onto some long balls and use his strength to shove some people out of his way, and it worked out really well for him. I thought he played quite well, best he's done in quite some time.
Yeah, he's a player who is much better when Atleti are not trying to dominate games, when Atleti are not dominating games. And that's Las Palmas.
Yeah, exactly.
The way Las Palmas play is like perfectly set up for Atletico to do well, because Las Palmas love to have the ball.
Yeah, that's right. And without Mauricio Lemos, I think they were in big trouble defensively, because he's been an absolute wall this season.
Yeah,
but on the bench, it didn't do him too much.
Yeah, he didn't play today. He's probably been arguably their best player this season.
Yeah, they've had some good performers this season. Probably either him or Rocky Mesa would be their best player this season.
I love Rocky Mesa, except for that mustache. He's got to get rid of that.
I love that he has a mustache and he tucks in his jersey into his shorts.
That part is cool. That's old school. Like, I respect that. That's like throwback to the 70s, but that mustache, it needs to go.
Yeah, he's such a good player, but he could help himself out cutting the mustache.
Yeah, he's gotta let that go. Quality player, though. Didn't really show it today.
Oh, certainly.
Didn't really show it today, as many of Las Palmas' players didn't. In between the Gamero goals, we had Saul Niguez thumping home a header from a Coque corner. A vintage Atleti goal from a few years ago, and it was inside 20 minutes, 3-0.
Yeah, and Las Palmas didn't really care to start with, so after that, they were very much done.
Yeah, I mean, Las Palmas secured safety a long time ago. They're not anywhere close to challenging for Europe. Their coach, Quique Setién, a former Atletico player, he is leaving at the end of the season. He's had contacts with Valencia. He'd be a great appointment for them. But yeah, Las Palmas, they don't really have much to play for. I mean, you don't want to capitulate and lose like this, but Las Palmas don't really have much motivation here.
Yeah, exactly. And players like Jesse Rodriguez are on loan there, so, you know. It's a selling club, but we'll see.
Oh, Hesse. You lovely man. So, in the run into this game, the build up to this game, Hesse gave an interview with Marca, and he said Griezmann is not at the level required to play at Real Madrid. He would not fit there. There are many players better than him, and I'd like to think that made its way to the Atleti dressing room and precipitated this rampage here.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably did. I mean, he does know what it takes to fail at Real Madrid, so he is in a place to give advice on that.
And fail at PSG and fail at Las Palmas.
Yeah, he was at PSG for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a great game today. Got booked for diving.
Yeah, that was pretty beautiful. Kind of jumped over somebody's leg. I think Jose Mas's leg.
It was Lucas or Jose. I think it was Lucas. And Lucas was like,
no, yeah, it was one of the defenders.
Not fam, get off me. Like, no, screw that.
Yeah, and the referee was just like, I don't know what you want me to do here.
it's actually funny, because Who Scored gives out their player ratings every game. He had the second highest rating of any Las Palmas player.
Oh, wow. Kind of lets you know how it's going. I mean, it seemed at times, even before they had a man sent off, that they were down a man.
Yeah, and that finally happened, that expulsion finally happened just after the hour when Kevin Prince-Boateng collided with Jose Jimenez, and the latter went off injured, which we will talk about in full in just a minute here. But Boateng got sent off, and Atleti really didn't need to do much more. They'd kind of been playing at a walking pace for the previous 40 minutes. But, you know, you want to warm up for Tuesday. You want to get players some time, and substitutes combining for the fourth goal on Angel Correa coming on and slipping in Tomas Partey, Thomas's first goal of the season. And it was indeed party time on Gran Canaria. This is a beautiful goal, actually.
Oh, yes.
Really well worked.
It was, yeah. And Thomas started it off, played it to Correa, who then gave it back to him. He scored. And it was a really good finish and a very powerful run, which we've gotten quite used to seeing from Thomas, who's been excellent this second half of the season.
It was
for sure.
A really, really nice give and go. And Thomas was playing as a makeshift right back. It was actually pretty interesting how Cholo did this when Jimenez went off. He had Tomas doing the attacking portion of, you know, being a fullback, and then Gabby would slide over to the right and defend. It was really interesting how he did it.
Yeah, I think that probably gets the best out of both those guys, because Tomas can definitely be explosive going forward, so that'll be quite useful if we don't have a right back. But and of course, Gabby could play a number of positions and do totally fine, so.
Yeah, Gabby was everywhere today, and just another one of those performances that doesn't leap out at the screen, but, you know, you look up and, oh, hey, Gabby's just made a crucial interception. Oh, hey, Las Palmas don't have the ball anymore. Gabby was in the middle of that play. You don't always notice him, but he's always there.
Yeah, he's been fantastic and has been for many years, and he's so important. He's one of the ones that just can't, under any circumstances, get injured.
Yeah, I mean, that everything is up in the air in terms of injuries now.
Yeah, it could be anyone, which is what's scary.
With this latest one today. But yeah, Tomas scored his first goal. Then Fernando Torres scored his first goal in forever, nearly 3 months, I think. I don't think he'd scored since the leg on ice game.
Yeah, and he'd had some bad misses in between as well.
Yeah, Felipe with a terrific cross that Torres really, you can't not finish that. So good sign for him, really good of him to finish that chance and secure the manita in a really, really comprehensive, impressive 5-0 win.
Yeah, especially since Las Palmas have been so good at home this season. They haven't been so great away from home, but at home they've been fairly good. But, you know, like we said, they don't have much motivation to do anything at this point. So yeah, that was good for Atleti.
That's the second time Atleti have won there this season. They went to Gran Canaria in January and won in the first leg of the Copa del Rey last 16. They won 2-0 on that day, and they won 5-0 here. So two wins on Gran Canaria in 1 year is pretty good. They are a good team at home.
Yeah, and they're safe. So, and they're a fun team as well, but they have a big summer ahead of them.
It's some standout performances from this game. Let's start with Correa, because I wrote a column yesterday about Angelito and potential and how there is a downside to potential. And to sum up the column, which you can read on into the Calderon.com, basically, when we talk about a player having potential, we talk about it in very, very positive terms. We say, you know, oh, that team has sky-high potential. That player has great potential. We don't often qualify it by saying that player will succeed and fulfill his potential if these things happen. We don't often say that because I don't think we want to think about it. We've talked about Correa for a couple of years now as having, you know, Sergio Aguero potential to lead the line with great finishing, great vision, great dribbling, all that. But it's come and gone for him. And with all the kind of sexy names that have been linked with Atletico and some pretty unimpressive performances from Correa this season, one may be tempted to think that with the transfer ban under review, I guess, and with the potential for big signings ahead of the move to a stadium called Wanda, you would think that Correa's future isn't so cut and dried. But he played really well today, and he now, this will surprise you actually, but he now leads Atletico in assists in league play. One more than Griezmann, 8-7.
Yeah, I think he needs to figure out where he's best deployed, or Diego Simeone does as well, because we've seen him work in some positions, but then also his failings will come out when he makes a bad pass or gives the ball away in an opportune moment. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But I think probably for the club, in terms of whatever happens with the transfer ban, it's probably better to keep a player like Correa than it is to keep Gaitán, because you sort of know what Gaitán can do. But then Correa, there's just the question mark, which, as you said, can be dangerous because you don't know if he's going to fulfill it. But it is still, it's going to be hovering there for a few years for him until he either fulfills it or doesn't, or sort of ends up a kind of mediocre player.
For what it's worth, this column is still relevant, but I'd like to posit that I am a great reverse jinx. I am yes. So good at that.
Yes, you're on top of the reverse jinx.
But yeah,
Correa, hopefully he comes up big in another game.
It's interesting that Correa is not a very good decision maker, but yet he has the most assists of any Atletico player in the league.
Yeah, it probably says a lot about how he bursts forward into the box and just kind of makes opportunities happen, because he does have a ton of technique and skill to get by people and create opportunities for others.
When he makes good decisions, they're really, really good decisions. When he doesn't, he needs to have the ball at his feet to have any kind of impact whatsoever, which, not surprising for a player his age, but it may be not what Atletico need at this time.
Yeah, that's true. You know, maybe the more years he gets more playing time, he gets more used to the system, it gets better, but we just don't know yet at this point.
That being said, that was his third assist in the last four league games, which is, it doesn't seem like it, but he's played better lately. He wasn't very good midweek against Villarreal. He was hooked after an hour. He's always been much better as a substitute, and he played well today. It was really good to see.
Yeah, and I can totally understand how he's a frustrating player for a lot of people, because there are those situations where it's like, just do the simple thing.
He's only got three goals this season. He hasn't scored a league goal in more than 6 months.
Yeah, that's been his big problem, because he gets himself in good positions, but then he tries to do too much on the finish or just makes the wrong decision.
It's extremely frustrating. Yeah. Because the talent is there. He's very, very clearly a talented
player. Absolutely there. I mean, I think most people can see the talent. It's just a question of if his head's in it.
Yeah. Saul played a wonderful game today as well. Pretty much all the damage done for him in the first 20 minutes with a goal and an assist. He got some new ink this week. And, some fresh ink was... I couldn't exactly tell what it was, but he tweeted a picture of it. And you could really clearly see it's a pretty big design on his left arm.
So he celebrated that with a big game. I couldn't make out what it was either.
Maybe a portrait of some kind? I don't know. But he marked that occasion.
It looked slightly blobbish.
Yeah, whatever the case, though, this is yet another awesome performance from Saul. Goal and an assist for him. We talked about it a little bit. But I think we need to praise him again for just how good he's been since the turn of the year. He's been really sensational. Barcelona have just gone ahead at Espanyol, by the way.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. took Barcelona. Him long enough. Anywho, Saul, who we have mentioned on this program before, has literally peed blood defending this team's colors. He's been sensational for the balance of the last 3 months. He's been pivotal to Atleti's turnaround. Everything he does in midfield, he can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he certainly can. And it's somewhat like what we talked about with Correa, because at the beginning of the season we said a lot that we couldn't really tell where Saul was best played, but since the turn of the new year, he's really grown into that midfield role alongside Gabby and knows what he needs to do and his responsibilities. He's been making stuff happen at both ends of the pitch as well, so that's been great to see.
Yeah, you look at Saul today, we mentioned the goal and the assist. Perhu scored 2 tackles, 2 interceptions, 3 clearances. He just does a little bit of everything in the center of the park. He breaks up play. He can burst forward with a lot of creativity and skill. He's got a really, really big future.
Yeah, and I'll freely admit, I didn't really know where his future was in terms of his position in this team at the start of the season, because he looked like he was lacking a little bit defensively when the season first started. But since 2017 started, he's just really picked it up on that front and kept his scoring and chance creation form going as well.
Yep. Nico Gaitán, who was pretty good against Villarreal, unfortunate to get hooked so early, perhaps was deserving of a little more time. And obviously, he blew that 1v1, which stunk. But he played pretty well other than that. Played well again today. Assisted Guerrero's second goal.
Yeah, it was a really good assist as well. Great pass, just out of reach of the defender, but right in the perfect spot for Guerrero. So it was good to see him play, but he has to keep doing it if he wants to have any sort of future at Atletico.
He played 90 minutes, too. I think he's only done that 2 or 3 times this year.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the right decision to bring him in to play this match so that we could alleviate some of the pressure on players like Carrasco, so that he's fresh for the Champions League.
Yeah, and Carrasco, obviously not available today, probably will not be available midweek, unfortunate. But Gaitán did a job today. He played well against Villarreal too, but he played better today. And perhaps an option for Tuesday, to start on Tuesday. I mean, not that you don't have very many other options with Carrasco still injured.
Yeah, it's a bunch of question marks about what's going to happen midweek with the team. I mean, there's a lot of options that they could go with, given the lack of defensive options and sort of the weirdness with our wide players.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Gamero, a bit feast or famine this season. Today it was very much feast with 2 goals, up to 12 now in the league. Atleti's second highest scorer behind Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, and he's going to be one of the players that Atleti looked to make a big impact in the Champions League, because he hasn't really shown that he was worth all the money that was paid for him. Granted, there was a sort of lack of strikers available last summer, but even still, there was a lot of money paid for him, and he hasn't been worth it quite yet.
He has been at times.
Some goals in some big games.
It's been interesting with Gamero, because he has been at times. At times, season, he's been wonderful.
There's just been long droughts.
He scored that hat trick against Sporting Gijón in less than 5 minutes. He scored 2 today. He's scored some big goals this season. He's also had some really big misses, but he's so important because his chemistry with Griezmann is really good. Griezmann almost set him up for the hat trick early in the second half, but Gamero just whacked it off the post.
There was another one where Griezmann was just offside that could have been his hat trick as well.
That's right. Yeah. Their chemistry is really good. Gamero is so fast and so quick, and he is a good finisher, even if, you know, sometimes his chances go begging or sometimes he doesn't get a lot of chances. He is a really good finisher, and in a counter-attacking style, in a counter-attacking system like we're going to play on Tuesday, that's going to be really important. And he's gotten enough time off to where he should be fully fit and ready to go. He came off early in this game, which is a pretty strong indicator to me that Simeone intends to start him on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think he and Griezmann are the best strike partnership at the moment. For sure, they complement each other quite well because Griezmann can set up Gamero on counterattacks as well. And he will be important. If he can get his body in the way of some of the defenders of Real Madrid, then he could cause them some problems at the back.
Yeah, and with Real Madrid on Tuesday, Cholo, and such a big lead, Cholo was able to make some changes, which included getting Gamero off before the hour, which was good to see. We do have a question about Simeone's decisions for substitutes today. This is from @NewtTheCat8. Why doesn't Cherchi get some minutes in such a big win?
I think probably there was a chance he could have come on, perhaps, had Jimenez not gotten hurt. I don't know if Tomas would have come on in that case, but maybe for Koke we could have seen Churchy. I don't know, that feels like a joke just saying it, but you know, it's an option. We're so thin.
Like, I kind of wanted to see Koke and or Seul come off in this game, but
yeah,
you know, they also got a full day off 2 weeks ago against Osasuna, which is probably going to be their last off day of the season. And
Simeone, yeah, I think had Jimenez not come off, it would have been one of Gabby, Seul, or Koke that came off instead.
And so they all played 90 minutes, even though all three of them got the day off against Osasuna a couple weeks back. So not too much concern there. Griezmann was able to come off early too, which is important. He got an extra 20 minutes of rest. So yeah, I would say, yeah, this would be a good opportunity for Churchy to make another appearance, but there is a certain legend about just making one sole appearance this season in the league. There is a certain majesty about it. And also the substitutes played really well. Dean Torres got a goal, Correa got an assist, Tomas got a goal, so I wouldn't complain too much about it.
No, yeah, I think the substitutions were good given the situation.
Staying on the theme of substitutes, Jose Jimenez had to come off in the 67th minute with what initially we thought was a preventive measure, as he just suffered a pretty heavy hit from Boateng. And there were initial concerns that maybe he had a concussion, maybe there was some head injury, maybe you don't want anything more to happen to him since he's the only like pseudo right back in the squad. Well, that wasn't quite the case. Instead, Jose Ma has again done his groin, I think the third time this season. Same muscular injury in his groin. He's almost certain not to play on Tuesday. It's a muscular injury. And, oh joy, no right backs again.
Yeah, it's a shame for him because he sort of came on the last couple weeks. He's played a ton of positions this season. He's been quite important. But he just keeps getting his good runs of form interrupted with injury. It's quite annoying.
More than 2 weeks without getting hurt, he just can't. And that's why, despite how good he's been and how versatile he's been the past couple weeks, that's why I just still cannot see a long-term future for him at Atletico. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, we talked about this before, and I agree with you. I think that if a big offer came in for him, then I wouldn't say no.
No, and it's tough because his value to Atletico has gone up this season because he can play in midfield, he can play at fullback, he can be passable at fullback, and he's a center back by trade, and his physical and athletic gifts are immense, but he just can't stay fit. Seriously, this was 2 weeks. This was, what, five games? And he's out again.
And it's always at points when we need defenders.
Yeah, you notice that. Out,
which, I mean, it's been a benefit to Lucas Hernandez, but not too many other people.
Yeah, it's at the detriment of Atleti. Simeone said after the game that that Jimenez's status is still unknown. He's going to have more tests, but there will be a solution for Tuesday. Let's talk about that solution for Tuesday. We had this question posed a couple times, thanks to those of you who submitted your questions, by the way, on Twitter, from Alvaro at Ginto12. How will Atletico solve the defensive puzzle with so many injuries? Rob, I know what I would do. It's pretty simple, I think, what I would do, but let's hear your theory for what Atletico are going to do on Tuesday.
Oh, it's a tough one, you know, because we're quite low on defenders in general. I mean, the one thing that would come to mind would be you play a three at the back with Savic, Hernandez, and Godin with, you know, a right winger on the right and just make him play wing back. But other than that, there's no real defensive option unless you just plug Lucas Hernandez in there or bring Gabby or Tomas back, but those options are going to be square pegs and round holes.
Yeah, maybe not much more than Jimenez playing right back, but I think the solution is going to be Lucas at right back, Savic at center back. I think that's the easiest solution. It's way too late in the season to be moving to a funky three-man back line. Can't really afford to experiment in such an important game. I think what Simeone is going to do is just play Lucas at right back. It's better than playing Savic there because Savic has no pace. Savic has been good, but he just doesn't have any pace. He will not be able to keep up with Cristiano Ronaldo. He will not be able to keep up with Marcelo, especially in the form Marcelo is in. He just won't be able to do it. Lucas will be able to. It might work. It's of course not preferable, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and I think Lucas Hernandez has been pretty decent.
And he can play fullback.
Kind of quietly good. He's been kind of sneaky good the last couple appearances he's had. He just seems, when he plays, very comfortable, like he's not out of his depth at all. So yeah, I appreciate that about him.
He's so mature for his age, and you can almost count on him at this point to not screw up. And he started today as Godin was suspended and did very well, very efficient game. Very clean game, and he has experience playing fullback before. Savage came on as right back against Leicester, and it was a horror show. So, I think what...
Yeah, I mean, unless you're just locking it down, then there's no real reason to have Savage out there.
Right, over 90 minutes, and Zidane is going to go after this. You know he is, so why wouldn't he? I mean, over the balance of 90 minutes, you're going to want someone who has experience at fullback, and Lucas is it. Although he's played left back before, Lucas is probably going to be it. Playing Thomas at right back would be suicide.
Yeah, he would be totally dead by the end of the match, the amount of running he did, and that would be best case scenario, so.
Yeah, fingers crossed with what happens for Tuesday. So that's what I think is going to happen, is Lucas is at right back. I think Gaetan is going to start too, assuming Carrasco isn't fit. Best case, of course, in all this is that Versalico makes a miracle recovery in time for Tuesday, but it's the latest update is that he's very unlikely to play.
Yeah, that's the one big question mark. If Versalico is good to go, then there's no doubt there. I think even coming back from injury, you may have to risk it.
Oh yeah, and I think that they will. I think what they're going to do over the next few days is they're going to push really hard for Versalico to be ready. They're going to try to get him as ready as possible. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. He should be back for the second leg, although he was expected to be back 2 weeks ago, and he hasn't come back yet. They're expecting to have a full squad, if not a relatively full squad, by the second leg. With the Jimenez injury, he might... Honestly, I could see Jimenez being done for the season. I could. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say Atleti get eliminated on May 10th. Let's say they're out of the Champions League. Would you risk Jimenez coming back for the final two league games?
Yeah, there's no point in it. You just shut him down.
Just shut him down. And if Atleti do make the final, you can rest him up and try to have him healthy.
Right, exactly. And that is the thing. If Atleti do reach the final, then there is a chance, because it is early June, and that'll probably give him enough time. But
you'd think so, yeah, but
that's all up in the air.
Groin injuries are very tricky, and this is not the first one he's had.
So. It just depends on how severe it is compared to the others.
And it's tough for him. I feel for him, but it's the way it goes. Next man up.
Yeah, I think, you get a 60 million euro offer from Manchester United in the summer, you run with it.
Yep, I think so too. So Tuesday is gonna be fun. it's all about survival, I think. Don't lose by multiple goals and get an away goal. If Atleti do both of those things, then you know Madrid are gonna score, because they always score. And there's not a very high chance Atleti win the game. They've only won 3 of 9 Champions League knockout stage games in the last 3 years. So I'd say it's pretty unlikely that they win, and they're almost certain to concede. With that in mind, got to get an away goal and limit the damage.
Yeah, I think a score draw is probably the best realistic scenario. Obviously, you want to win, and if you can pull that out, then obviously you take it. But I think score draw would probably be of the most use to Atleti. Gets a one or possibly more away goals. You don't want to ship too many, because then it kind of becomes tricky in the second leg. But yeah, gotta have an away goal. They're so powerful in these knockout rounds, especially with defensive teams. If you have that away goal, it brings a lot of confidence going into the second leg, regardless of what the result was.
I think 1-1 would be a perfect result. I would absolutely take that. 2-1 at 2-1 it'd be tough, but you'd still have the away goal. Anything worse than 2-1, and like if Madrid win 3-1, then it's very, very slim odds after that. And if Atleti don't score at all, then you can probably forget about winning the tie.
Yeah, Atleti really, really, really need to score. They'd probably need to score on both legs somewhere around 3 goals. I mean, and that's going to be tough, really tough.
You know, the good news is Gamero is back, and he was great today. Griezmann hasn't scored in his last couple games, but he's still been very good. No Carrasco, but two of your top three scorers are back. They're firing. Gaetan is going to have to do a job. This is by far the biggest game I think he's going to start. This is by far the biggest game he's going to play this season, and he's got to hold his own.
Yeah, he's got to prove why we spent all that money on him. I mean, we saw today that he has the technique to do well on the highest level, but he just hasn't had any sort of consistent form at all.
No, he hasn't had much consistent time either, and that's kind of down to Simeone, but player himself hasn't, you know, the player himself hasn't been great. And I guess worst case is Gaetan is merely okay. You take him off in a close game on 50-60 minutes, you bring on probably Tomas, actually, and then Thiago.
Yeah. Those two, if you're looking to see out the rest of the match, then I think you'd see Thiago and Thomas. Otherwise, it's slim pickings on the bench. Correa, we may see him for Gaetan if that happens.
I don't think he'll start.
In terms of substitution.
No, I don't think he'll start. He was really effective as a substitute.
No, I don't think he'll start, but coming on as a sub.
Oh, yeah. He was really effective as a substitute in the derby 3 weeks ago when Atleti were chasing a late goal. So we might see that scenario. I'd expect we're going to see that scenario again in what I expect will be a very tight game.
Yeah, it's going to be a really tight game, I think. And Real Madrid are an extremely good team, obviously, but if anything, they're somewhat weak at the back. So if Atleti can get them on a counterattack, then that would be ideal.
And again, get that vital, absolutely vital away goal, because Real Madrid are, I'd say, almost certain to score in both legs. So it's essential that Atleti get one in the first leg, and then get one in the second leg and see where you go from there.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. If you get one in both legs, then I think we're totally in the tie still.
Oh, for sure.
Regardless of how many they score. So
that's Tuesday, and starting tomorrow we're going to have a bunch of stuff on the blog about it. I don't think we will be doing another Colchonero chat before the game, but we will be doing a podcast with Managing Madrid. We will have Q&As, we'll have columns, we'll have analysis, previews, all that good stuff coming out over the next couple days, all leading up to kickoff on Tuesday. Are you feeling bold enough to give a scoreline prediction?
Man, this one...
It doesn't sound confident.
This could go one of several ways. I like 1-1. I don't want to be... Yeah, I'll go 1-1. I was going to say 2-1 to Real Madrid, but that felt too negative.
Then I'll say 2-1 to Real Madrid.
There you go. I think that's a definitely reasonable thing to happen.
Which, you know, Atleti, you're not going to have a right back. And right back is, I don't know, a really important position against Real Madrid, where you have Marcelo and Cristiano Ronaldo on that side, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that side's going to be a little weak.
That might be a problem area. I mean, credit to Lucas, you know, he'll do a job, but it's he can't stop everything, you know. He's not a natural right back.
Yeah, exactly.
That's assuming he starts like I think he will. Yeah, I'll go 2-1 to Real Madrid, and Atleti'll still be in the tie. They'll have to put up a massive performance in the second leg, but they'll still be in it.
Yeah, I still think at 2-1, I wouldn't totally out of confidence for the second leg, so that'd be a good result as well.
But at any rate, we'll see what happens. Anything else, Rob?
Nope, I think that's about it.
Super. All right, well, Rob, thank you so much for stopping by the program today, as ever.
Yes, always a pleasure to be on.
In the meantime, you can follow Rob at rwalk03 on Twitter. You can follow me at jbberen, JBBEREN. As ever, like us on Facebook, Into the Calderon on Facebook, and follow Into the Calderon on Twitter at Into the Calderon. You can listen and subscribe to all new and archived editions of Colchonero Chat. There are now 50 of them, by the way. iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all 5 of those platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, and TuneIn. Yeah, we've made it half a century, amazingly.
Yeah, we're keeping it moving.
And thanks to everyone who has listened, who has submitted feedback, given us questions to answer. It's been appreciated. So thanks so much, and here's to the next 50 or however many of these we do.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a wild ride this season.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of Colts Neuro Chat. We will, of course, be back midweek to talk all about the Madrid Derby, Champions League semifinal, and more. So we'll catch you then. Adios.